So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Folks, it is Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings, and we are back again this week continuing our Off the Beaten Path series featuring, as evidenced by this clip, the state of Montana. She had Montana on her mind, and I honestly don't even know who that was. I found that online, and that's the funny thing, folks. I was trying to find songs about Montana, and I just kept coming up. Every time it was songs and Montana, I just kept getting these hits with Miley Cyrus as Hannah Montana. And obviously, we are not playing Hannah Montana or Miley Cyrus on this show. So I finally found this one Montana on my mind, and I do have a really good one to use for an outro that I think you'll really like. It's called Big Western Sky, because, of course, Montana is the big sky state. But today we are coming back with the great state of Montana. This is one of my favorite states from being a child. It's a huge state. I have had the pleasure of being through it only once, but I enjoyed every minute of it. So I'm going to start with George. What are you, George? No, don't you dare, George. Don't.
With a dream, my cardigan.
No, that's not funny. No, this is my show. Get her off of there. I don't know Hannah Montana on this show. George, turn it off now. That wasn't funny, George. So, Montana is outside of Alaska and Texas. It is the largest state, I think, in the lower 40. Well, obviously Alaska's not in the lower 48, but I think Texas is the biggest, followed by Montana, with an area of 147,046 square miles. It's a big state, folks, and it is a long state. When you're driving through Montana, it's like trying to drive across Texas. It takes you more than a day to get across there. Now, the major rivers in Montana are the Clark Fork, the Kootenai, the Missouri, and the Yellowstone. Now, the elevation goes from 1,800 feet in the Kootenai River to 12,799 feet at Granite Peak. That is a huge difference, folks. Now, the The flower is the Bitterroot, which is kind of interesting since the Bitterroot Mountains dominate western Montana. And the origin of the name comes from the Spanish word for mountainous, Montana, obviously. And its nicknames are Big Sky Country, the Bonanza State, Land of the Shining Mountains, the Mountain State, and the Treasure State. But pretty much everyone knows Montana as the Big Sky State. Now, give some historical highlights here. In 1743, French explorers Pierre and François de la Vérendrye sight what they call the Shining Mountains, which were most likely the Bighorn Mountains. And passing through time here, let's see, in 1862, gold was discovered at Grasshopper Creek, and it brought in a lot of prospectors. In 1864, Congress passed a bill declaring Montana a territory. So when did it become a state? In 1889, Montana entered the Union as the 41st state. Very interesting. Now, who is famous from the state of Montana? I mean, with the state of Wyoming, we all know that from Chips, watching Punch and John, that John was always from Wyoming. But who's from Montana? Well, John Bozeman, for whom Bozeman, Montana is named after. He blazed the Bozeman Trail, which was a shortcut from the Overland Trail to the Montana goldfields. And today, Bozeman Pass and both the city of Bozeman are named after him. Gary Cooper, very famous actor. We know him mostly from Pride of the Yankees, where he portrayed Lou Gehrig. But he also starred in High Noon and Sergeant York. Who else? Well, here's one. I'm going to read it just because. Jeanette Rankin was an outspoken pacifist who argued against U.S. participation in World Wars I and II. Rankin was the first woman to serve in the House of Representatives. She was the only legislator to vote against declaring war on Japan after the raid on Pearl Harbor in 1941. A vote that effectively ended her political career. I wonder why. Well, you know, folks, Americans seceded from Britain for a reason. And pacifism is not born into our psyche. So someone like her, you know, she got booted for a reason. Now, let's see. Some oddities and specialties about Montana. The Rogue River is only 201 feet long. Wow. And it's the shortest river in the world. Millions of grasshoppers that were embedded in ice very, very long ago can still be seen at Grasshopper Glacier in the Absaroka Beartooth Wilderness. Now here's something that's interesting but disgusting at the same time. An estimated 20 million buffalo roamed the Montana plains in the 1860s, and only 25 years later, hunters in pursuit of buffalo hides had reduced the population to lower than 100. Think about that, folks. 20 million reduced to 100. They effectively wiped out 20 million buffalo from the state of Montana. That's disgusting. Now, finally, in one of the greatest land rushes ever, the number of acres under cultivation in Montana jumped from 886 acres in 1900 to 30 million acres in 1919. That's incredible. That shows just how far ahead they were. But let me get into some of the things to actually see and do while you're in the state of Montana. Now, in Fort Peck is the Fort Peck Dam and Fossil Museum. And it's among the world's largest earthen-filled dam, which really isn't that special. But what made it kind of cool is that it was a prototype for virtually all other such dams that are now in existence. And it was begun in 1933 for flood control, to improve navigation along the Missouri River for irrigation and the creation of hydroelectric power. And it was finished 7 years later, And for an earthen dam, it's pretty big. It's 250 feet high, 3.96, so it's almost 4 miles long, and almost 1 mile wide at the base. Wow. Okay, so where's the fossils here? Oh, during the construction, many fossils were excavated. Okay, that's where it comes in. At the museum and the dam's powerhouse, you can examine more than 400 fossils, including the horn core of a 63-million-year-old Triceratops. Very, very interesting. Fossil hunting is a popular activity in this area, and it has remained virtually unchanged for about 65 million years. The area, that is, not the museum. But for finding fossils, I mean, it kind of takes a little experience. You got to know what you're looking at. You can get maps for a lot of the likely places and information about summertime fossil hunting expeditions. They are conducted by universities, and it usually allows visitors to go along. So you can't actually get your own private fossils, which kind of sucks because it's always cool finding fossils. But it's kind of interesting to go along there. Wow. Walled up behind the dam are the gleaming waters of Lake Fort Peck. It's 135 miles long and up to 16 miles wide. Has 1,520 miles of shoreline. Wow. So obviously, if you're into water activities, very, very interesting place to visit. All right, now the next place I'm going to go over here is the National Bison Range. And this is interesting because it gives a little bit more detail, the actual numbers. And it says possibly as many as 50 million bison once roamed the American prairies. But hunters so reduced their numbers that by 1900, fewer than 100 were known to exist in the wild. Now, going back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, there were 20 million in the state of Montana alone, reduced to less than 100. So apparently, all the remaining bison left in the United States were in Montana. So 50 million of these animals were killed. For all intents and purposes, they were brought back from the brink of extinction. Now, in 1908, at the instigation of the American Bison Society and with Teddy Roosevelt's help, the National Bison Range was founded. Some 19,000 fenced acres of high prairie, forest, and bottomlands in the Flathead Valley on October 17, 1909, were the first of seven of these majestic creatures were introduced. Two from Texas, two from Montana, and another three from, of all places, New Hampshire. Many people don't know that bison once roamed almost somewhere in almost all 48 states, even up into New England. Now today, the refuges herd of, well, this is an older, I'm looking here, from 350 to 450. I'm sure that there's a lot more, as one of the country's largest. This is an old thing I'm going by here. Annually, during the first week of October, excess animals are rounded up for auction. Interesting. They have self-guiding tours, and you can kind of walk around through here. There's wildflowers, flowering shrubs. There's a road you can take, the Buffalo Prairie Drive. It takes about 20 minutes. Then you have a 2-hour, 19-mile Red Sleep Mountain Scenic Drive, which is open mid-May to mid-October. And in some places, it's a little steep and winding, but the views are incredible. You can see forever when you get up into these mountains. So you got ponderosa pine and Douglas fir, and you go through high-rolling grasslands and stream sides that are covered with alder, birch, and willow. Golden eagles are there, elk, mule deer, mountain goats, bighorn sheep, pronghorn antelopes, and white-tailed deer. Just incredible, the diversity of the wildlife here. And Mission Creek, north of the range, is favored by migrating waterfowl in the fall. Interesting. The range is open year-round, and the visitor center is open daily in the summer and weekdays in winter. Wow, that sounds like a really cool place to visit, just to wander open prairie like that. There's not too many places left, folks, where you can actually wander through open prairie. And especially in places like here in North Carolina, which, believe it or not, once had prairie. Not what you're thinking. It wasn't a tall grass or short grass prairie. It was weeds and things like that. But we did have prairie here, and is virtually gone because they were kept open by wildfires, which now are always put out. And this is why so many of the balds in the Appalachian Range are disappearing. They were kept open by fires and by buffalo. And now that the buffalo are gone and the fires aren't allowed to burn, these bulbs are slowly growing back in. And it's a shame, because it's something that's very, very unique. So the prairie is unique. It's almost as unique as the tundra. So if you ever get an opportunity to see the prairie, this is an awesome place to view it. Gotta take a quick break, but when I come back, I want to talk to you about the Gates of the Mountains. Awesome place.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. So that bumper in was a song called Uranium by Zot. A very, very obscure song from an obscure band. But the reason I used that was that Montana has a lot of uranium deposits in it. Not as much as Nevada, but quite a bit. And in fact, there is an abandoned uranium mine somewhere in Montana. I'm not sure where, and I'm not going to send you there. That people actually go down into this thing and inhale this radioactive gas. It's supposed to have healthful benefits, but honestly, inhaling radiation just doesn't sound too healthful to me, so I'm not going to recommend it. I am going to recommend the Gate of the Mountains. Now, from I-15, about 16 miles north of Helena, take the Gates of the Mountains exit and continue to Lewis and Clark Landing, and you will find this place. About 300 million years in the making, the Meriwether Canyon, through which the Missouri River flows, is very, very spectacular to see. There's limestone cliffs that are intricately folded and studded with fossil remains from the ancient Mississippian Sea, and they rise above the river almost 1,200 feet in sheer cliffs. That's impressive. And limestone, I mean, it's white. That's got to look awesome in the sunlight. Now, their singular appearance so impressed the explorer Meriwether Lewis in 1805 that in his journal he called the canyon the gateway to the Rocky Mountains, hence its name. Now, you can take cruises. There's almost 6 miles of gorge, wow, that you can cruise here. And it's available at the Gates of the Mountains landing. And from the boat, you can see ancient Indian pictographs. And with a little bit of luck, you might even see a bighorn sheep or two, some Rocky Mountain goats, ospreys, and bald eagles. And folks, if you've never seen eagles, whether they're golden eagles or bald eagles, when you see them in flight, they are majestic, to say the least. Now, the boat stops at the Lewis and Clark campsite, which is now a very picturesque and lovely picnic ground. before making its return run. So you want to bring a picnic lunch, this is a place to do it. And you know I am one to recommend places for picnic lunches because, folks, there is nothing that your lady likes more than having a romantic picnic lunch. Usually by yourselves, but it's okay if there's other people there too. Now, cruises are offered daily, Memorial Day through September, and the fare is charged. I don't know exactly what it is, but that sounds like a really, really cool place to see. Of course, you know, I like things that loom out of the landscape, and I'm going to get into some of those a little bit later on here. But Gates of the Mountains, folks, very, very scenic place. And speaking of scenic things, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time on this particular series, you know that I love caverns. And I love talking about caverns and visiting caverns and sending you to caverns. And there is Lewis and Clark Caverns State Park. Now, they were discovered in 1892, but they were named obviously after Lewis and Clark, who passed through the area in the first decade of the 19th century. Now, the caverns is a series of corridors and chambers that reaches 326 feet below the entrance. A long flight of steps descends to the spiral staircase room, which is graced by perfectly formed fluted pillars, opaque stalactites and stalagmites. So very, very picturesque. And as you continue on through the tour, you'll get to the cathedral room. And there, the floor stalagmites rise all the way up to a domed ceiling. The corridors are filigreed and draped with mineral deposits, which leads you to the Garden of Gods, not to be confused with the Garden of the Gods in Colorado, which has stalactites, stalagmites, and helictites, resembling twisted tree roots coming out of the walls. Now, let me explain to you what a helictite is. All of a sudden, they were discovered in a bunch of caves within a few years. Previously, they were unknown, and for a long time, they were a mystery as to how they were formed. But they grow in multiple directions, and it's caused by air changes within the cave. It was a mystery for years. But as the air changes the direction, as the wind in the cave changes direction, it causes the growth to go in a different direction. So they are extremely interesting to see and very, very rare. The long chamber also contains the crystal pool, which is tinted green by the oxidation of pennies tossed in by tourists. Thank you, tourists. Don't you just love it when they do that and ruin something? Oh, good Lord. The last stop on the two-hour walk is the Paradise Room, where you can see cavern formations that are still active. It's open daily, May through September, and admission is charged. Very interesting. Now, here's something that's really cool, folks. The Madison River Canyon Earthquake Area. And this unusual site is a monument to a fairly recent natural disaster. And it happened suddenly on the night of August 17th in 1939. In about 30 seconds, 40 million cubic yards of rock and earth, which was basically an entire mountainside, broke loose from the south side of Madison River Canyon, and traveling at a speed of about 100 miles per hour, piled up 400 feet high against the canyon's northern wall. That's incredible. The landslide was a mile long, and it was caused by an earthquake that measured 7.1 on the Richter scale. And in almost an instant, the earth cracked open, and Helgen Lake fell 100 feet, and huge waves oscillated on its surface for more than 11 hours. And behind the landslide, a new lake 150 feet deep that has been named Earthquake Lake was formed. 28 people lost their lives, 250 others somehow miraculously survived on a ridge known as Refuge Point. That's absolutely amazing. Wow. Now, I'm running short on time here, so there's two places that I want to cover real quick. One is the Gallatin Petrified Forest, and it's just north of the town of Gardiner. And there's 40 square miles of ancient stone trees buried millions of years ago by volcanic ash. There are more than 100 species of trees and shrubs that have been identified in the remains of 27 successive forests, each in turn destroyed by volcanic eruptions. I guess a place that you didn't want to be at the time. And what's really cool about this place, at least at the time of the information I'm getting here, you could get a permit, and you could collect up to 25 pounds of petrified wood per day with a limit of 100 pounds per person per year. So, very interesting. There's not too many places left where you can actually do that. And just remember, folks, if you ever do go to a place like this, the trip back out with that kind of weight will seem much, much longer than it was on the way in. So keep that in mind. Auto access is usually possible from June through September. Okay, I am quickly running out of time here, but I do want to cover one. Yes, George, I know. Yes, we're already into the closing. Medicine Rock State Park, which is just north of Ekalaka. And this is one of the strangest landscapes in Montana. Now, the sandstone of a prehistoric riverbed has been eroded by wind and water into an amazing gallery of surreal formations, some rising 80 feet above the plains. There's arches and columns, caves and pinnacles, and flat-topped mountains up to 200 feet wide, pocked with holes and crannies. And these things are amazing, folks. I'm looking at a picture of it. Just amazing. I don't have time to go into a lot of detail, but Teddy Roosevelt thought the Medicine Rocks were fantastically beautiful and is said to have left his initials somewhere on the soft stone. It's open year-round, but it may be inaccessible by car in winter. So I am out of time here, folks. I've got to run. Next week will be a Christmas special, and I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I might be out of town, so I may just rehash last year's. I'm not really sure. We'll have to see what happens. I may be able to pre-record something. I don't know. But anyway, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. As always, you can get in touch with me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings, and I am out for now. I am parting with a song called Big Western Sky by Kick Tracy, since Montana is the Big Sky State. Be well.
Even just a minute to catch my breath. Some go right, some get left behind. I'm gonna learn how to fly. I wanna live high above the clouds. Afraid of all, afraid to touch the ground. It gets me too far down. But when I ask this guy's opinion, what it thinks is going on, don't go straight. It's just another day. Big Western Sky, shooting stars at you. Big Western Sky, that's what gets me through. Yeah, when the funky little things get all blown out, I try to keep my head. Lifted up to the sky. That's what gets me through. Big Western Sky. It gets me through. All right. Come on, get me high.